All right, good morning, everyone. We are going to be in Romans chapter 15. We're going to pick it up in verse 13 and move on from there. We have a lot of people on our prayer list, and there's some people that were left off, and I didn't get the message entirely, so I didn't quite get it all on there. But let's go through the prayer list. Betty Navin, she still has some ongoing issues. Christine, by the way, she's not here. She's not going to be here this morning. She has a terrible allergic reaction to mildew, trace mildew, and we had mildew in the building, and it really did a number on her on Wednesday. And she came back over yesterday, and then this morning to check it out, and as soon as she came in, her throat started swelling shut. So she's at home, but what I wanted to tell you about was that her Bell's palsy, she's starting to see just a little bit of movement come back. So keep those prayers up. Maybe she'll start getting that back. Melva French, Cheryl's mother, is having ongoing heart issues. Karen, May's daughter, we don't know. We've not received any word from May since then. Do you have anything? Okay, good. Okay. She didn't like the cruise? Okay. Okay.
That was her way. She said, well, the cruise business is over.
I've never been on a cruise. I don't know. Yeah. Okay, so we can take May's daughters off, maybe? Okay. All right. Tim Brown, Carlsren, still okay. Bobby Ross will have a procedure done to cut a nerve on Thursday of this week. Bob Engel, a friend of Jim's, is in hospice, right?
He's home, but hospice is taken care of.
And Leslie Harrison, a friend of Barb's, is battling lung cancer. And then Cass Poma is on there. Now, Chris says I should have put the whole family on there because they are all sick. But Cass has pneumonia. Now he's at home, but he has pneumonia, and they are suspicious that it may be whooping cough. So they have done some tests, and those tests will be here on Monday. So Christy is very nervous about that. Not sure where he would have picked it up unless it was at a daycare or something, which, you know. What's the little girl's name? Molly? Molly is running a temperature last night. Christy sounded like she was coming down with something, you know. And I don't know what's wrong I've lost his name. Tony. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with Tony other than I think I know what it was. He had, earlier in the week, he had stomach flu or something. So, I mean, they've had it. So they're all just, homebound right now. So we need to keep them all in their prayer. But Cass has what we would call walking pneumonia. But there's that threat of whooping cough, and I don't know what that is exactly, other than, you know, you take shots for it when you're a kid, so whatever. Anybody else to add? Okay, let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for watching over us, and we thank you for all your care. And Father, we pray a special prayer on behalf of all of these that are on our prayer list, but especially the members of this congregation. We ask that you be with the Pomas and help them, help all of them to regain their health. And we just want you to watch over this congregation and strengthen us and bless us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One more quick announcement, just a word of information. Ronnie Green, the man that was baptized. I spoke with him last night, and he's going to be placing his membership in Stockbridge because it's half the distance to travel. So he's going to be going to Stockbridge. I think he's already attended a couple of times, but he's thinking he's going to place his membership there. So I thought I'd let you know so you wouldn't worry about him. He wanted to make it clear that, you know, the basic and only reason was because it's half the distance and gas is expensive. So yeah, so it's a lot closer. All right, Romans chapter 15. We want to start with verse 13, which is a conclusion of the section. Starts the conclusion of the section that Paul's been giving us, where he's been teaching us about our responsibility toward one another. And he concludes it in this section with two statements that are prefaced with the word now. The first of those statements is in verse 13. The second of those statements is in verse 14. And so both of them are starting with the word now. And what's interesting about this way of introducing it is that it brings a point in a visual way. It's almost like if you were looking in our bulletin and you look on the prayer list and how we've got the prayer list, and each person is marked by a bullet point. That's almost the way they use this word in the Greek language. It's almost like, you know, I'm going to give you a list of bullet points or things that are super important, but I'm just going to put them out there, you know, just bam, they're out there for you. And so we've got two bullet points, basically, in verse 13 and verse 14. The first bullet point has to do with a prayer that Paul has for these Christians. So the first one has to do with, we're going to just put the word prayer up here, and we'll look at the details of that prayer in just a moment. And then the second one and I'm going to put the word there, in the New King James there's the word confidence. So I'm going to put confidence here, because and the reason I'm doing that is because what Paul is telling them is that, look, I'm going to pray for certain things to happen, to be available to have happen in your lives. And then I'm also confident that there's already certain things that you are doing and that you'll continue to do. And these are the concluding ideas to this whole thing about how we are individuals who are responsible for one another. We're still individuals, but we have this responsibility toward one another. And so he's saying, because of this, these are things that I want you to have. So let's take a look. Now that we've got that in mind, let's just take a look at these two verses, okay? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Now, notice that. No, in fact, the second verse, verse 14, has that word also there, which means he's tying it in. There's a tie-in. These two verses are tied together. So by virtue of being tied together, they are making a strong point. The fact is, logically, if you were to make this break into a normal paragraph, the paragraph should begin in verse 15. Okay, verse 14, 13 and 14 should be standalone paragraphs or sentences like bullet points, and then the actual new paragraph should begin in verse 15. Our English translations don't usually do that. I don't know how the New International breaks their paragraphs apart. They do it that way too? Okay. So, you know, but that's the way they should have done it, in my opinion. But then, of course, you know, I'm not a publisher. Okay. So let's look at this. The first thing, he says, I've got this prayer. I'm asking God that something happens. The first thing he says is that I want you to be filled. Okay? Filled with what? Okay? Filled with joy and peace. Okay? All right? Filled with joy and peace. Those two are linked together, but they're also linked to something else. Filled with joy and peace in, we're going to circle that word in because that's important. In what? In believing. All right. Now we'll come back to that and talk about that. Does the King New International have believing? As you trust. Okay. So they got the word trust. We're going to put trust up here in parentheses just to remind ourselves that they have a different translation. Okay? Now, so you're going to be, I pray first of all that you be filled with joy and peace in believing. Then, he says, and or that you may abound. So we're going to put the next word is abound. That you may abound with what? With, yeah. That you may abound in hope. Hope that he says, you know, that is connected, may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here you've got the word, like we had in and first, here you've got the word by power of Holy Spirit. Okay? So there's the first section. Okay? Now, the second one, we're going to chart them both out, and then we'll come back and we'll tear it apart. The second one, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are. Okay? So I'm confident that you are. So these are things that they are what? When something... something are, when something is are, what is that? They already have it. They already are doing it. This is part of who they, their identity or their character traits. So, I'm confident that you are doing what? What does he tell us? There's three things. Okay. Number one, you're full of goodness. Number two, you're what?
Knowledge.
Is that number two? Okay, complete in knowledge or filled with knowledge. So, filled is actually a more literal translation, filled with knowledge. And able to what?
Knowledge.
I told you I can't spell. Able to admonish. Alright. Now, this is important. This is basically his summary of everything that has gone before and his prayer for how it all will come about. Let's go back to the first, okay? The prayer. When he says that he wants him to be filled with joy and peace, what do you think the word filled is actually kind of giving you a picture of? Consumed, okay. Yes, it's a picture of a vessel, some sort of container. I just happen to have a nice little container here. Now, there's nothing in it, okay? Magic, no, okay. There's nothing in it. There's a magic trick that I want to get that does do that. But anyway, and basically the picture is that we are a vessel needing to be filled. Now, this is not the only place where this is the imagery of the words. Remember in, I think it's in 2 Timothy, he talks about how some are vessels of honor and some are vessels of dishonor, and it all depends on how we're sanctified or set apart by God. But the idea is that every Christian is a vessel for who? Yeah, we're a vessel for Christ. We're a vessel for Christ. We get filled with things for Christ. Now, here, he says, I want you to be filled with two things. I want you to be filled with joy and peace. Okay? Joy and peace. But the joy and peace that you're going to be filled with comes from what?
Knowledge.
You said knowledge. He has the word believing. New International put trust. Sue is right, because believing has to do with what? Has to do with knowledge. In other words, the think of it this way: the word "in" is like a spigot, okay? You know, like a faucet spigot, and the knowledge we have of God that we put into our life gets funneled through that spigot of believing. Now remember, believing has an ing word. It's an ing word, which means it's a what? It's ongoing. Yeah. It's an action that's ongoing. It's something we do something with. Okay? So it's not just knowledge that we just... You know, like I have a lot of knowledge that I can use in playing Trivial Pursuit. Okay? My youngest daughter and I are banned in family gatherings to team up with one another, because when we team up with one another, we both know so many useless things that we always win. So we're banned now from teaming up with one another, unless we can get some unsuspecting person to allow it. In that case, we go ahead and do it. But anyway, that's knowledge that has no practical use, really. The knowledge that we have that he's talking about with this believing is knowledge that's supposed to have practical use. What knowledge are we talking about? Where does it come from? God's Word. Yeah. It comes from God's Word. So God's Word, our believing it, our putting it to work, will result in our vessel being filled with joy and peace. In other words, joy and peace are the result of being filled by our believing. Our vessel is being filled by the believing. Okay? And we'll have joy and peace. Now, that's interesting, because a lot of people want joy and a lot of people want peace, and they do lots of things to try to find those things. But in reality, joy and peace is not something we go in pursuit of. It's something that we get filled with. Now, there's a difference, isn't there? We get filled with something because, now, there is something we're doing, right? We're doing the believing. That's the thing we're doing. But the joy and the peace are the result of that, not the things we pursue. Now, that shouldn't be surprising. Take a look. Go to the two. Keep your finger here. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Okay. How do you make fruit? You don't make fruit. What do you do with fruit? How do you get fruit? We harvest it, right? But it has to grow from something. We don't do anything except plant it, water it, let God do the growing, and we harvest it. Right? And that's what this is all about. The fruit of the Spirit is these things, all right? But we don't make these things, we harvest these things. Now, we encourage the growth of them through planting certain habits, watering, or let's use the word feeding the plant. What do you feed the plant?
Fertilizer.
Well, what if the plant is growing in us, what do we use to feed that plant? Knowledge, yeah. And then when it gets ready, we harvest it into our life. Luke?
Well, we have to work on it every day.
Yes, we do. Right. We do.
It is a work,
but the results of it aren't what we're working for. See, what we tend to do is we tend to get ahead of the game. You know, Luke and Emerson are really good gardeners. Chris is too, but I'm not. I'm terrible at gardening. Because I don't have the vision of what I'm going to get. Okay? I would rather, when I want squash or sweet potatoes or whatever, I'd rather go to the market and where it's already picked. Chris and these guys would rather do what? They'd rather grow their own. And the reason they'd rather grow their own is because there's a process involved, and they like the process. There's joy. There's something in the process. The thing about it is, that's the way we're to look at the Christian life. There's a process involved in getting all these things. Yes, we've got something to do in the process. It doesn't happen by itself, does it?
They might be joy, but there's also a lot of work.
A lot of work in there. And in fact, there's a lot of work in the Christian life, right? A lot of work in the Christian life. But, you know, that's part of it. See, too many people, especially today, want the results like I do when I want vegetables. I want to go and get it. But the thing is, we can't get those that way. You and I cannot get the fruit of the Spirit at the marketplace. There's only one place to get it. And that's, it has to grow in us. And the thing is, I can't harvest Luke's growth and or Emerson's growth or anybody else's growth. Whose growth can I harvest? Only myself. And the same is true of every other Christian. And that's one of the images that Scripture gives us about all of these qualities that we want. There's work involved to get them. And all. Now going back to let's go back to Romans 15 verse 13, and the idea here is, you know, you want to be he wants you to be filled with joy and peace, but the filling with joy and peace, you know, we're a vessel, okay, and it has to come out of the spigot of that's connected to the work of believing, which means putting into practice the knowledge of the Word of God. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, of course, I like gardening too, but man's been cut a little.
Okay.
But there's nothing better than watching your stuff grow.
Yeah, Chris says the same thing, and I...
Everything like that. And that's the same way. Like last night, I read the book of Ruth again.
Uh-huh.
Well, I knew the book of Ruth, but I still got enjoyment.
Absolutely.
Again.
Interesting.
So that is the way with gardening.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just wonderful.
Emerson?
That used to be. It used to be.
enjoyment involved or you wouldn't do it, you know? Probably. You know what? Go ahead, Carl. B's going, really? Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's very fulfilling.
Yeah?
But I think we forget who did it.
Right.
Because we personally take a lot of credit for that. When in reality, you know, it is. Put seed in the ground.
Yeah. What is it that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3? You know, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. And that's really the part of it, you know. God gives the increase. God fills us. God gives the increase. There is something to do, though, right? B?
But you don't think of that when you're kids because you'd rather share God with you.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I suppose that's very true. Did you have a hand? No, okay. I thought I saw something on this side when I was looking that way. I'm sorry. New glasses, by the way. See my new glasses?
Yeah.
They finally work now. The first pair I had, I got picked them up right before we went to Arkansas. And I didn't bring any of my old pair. And the whole time I'm down there, I couldn't see well. I was getting headaches. I just was awful. I took them off as much as I could. And it's because when they did them, you know, they use this little machine to make sure that it's centered on your eyeballs or centered on your pupils. Well, when they made the things, they got them too far out, and so I wasn't looking through the prescription. And with my astigmatism and everything else, I was trying to correct my eyes in ways that it's not supposed to correct. Now they work. I can see. Had to have them redo them when I got back. All right, let's go back. Prayer filled, and then the word abound. Okay. Now, do you have the word abound in the NIV? In verse 13? That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you have the word abound? Huh?
Overflow.
Okay. It is still the image of a vessel, because that is what the word is. The word abound here is the word for overflowing. It's an image. It's a visual image of something overflowing. Now, when it's used in various contexts, of course, sometimes things really don't overflow, but that's the visual. Remember, the Greek language was a visual language. And so here's the idea. Remember, in this one we're being filled because we're the vessel, and the vessel's got stuff going in. Now, and so we're being filled with joy and peace. Now, I want you to be overflowing with what? Hope. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here, body is connected the same way as in. It is the same, it's the same principle. It's the spigot. And who gives us the hope? It's the Holy Spirit. Now, how does the Holy Spirit give us hope? Because you see, the reason I wrote it out this way is because there's a definite parallel. How does the Holy Spirit give us hope? Well, go back up to verse 4. Go back up to verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So he says, the Scriptures, okay? Well, how do the Scriptures get written? We put a bunch of monkeys in a room with typewriters and they just went at it until they came up with the Bible? Is that what happened? No. How does the Scriptures get written? By inspiration of God. Peter specifically says, through the direction of the Holy Spirit. So here, the power of the Holy Spirit, by, is a direct reference to the inspiration of the scriptures. So the scriptures are what give us the knowledge of the scriptures. Again, it's knowledge, right? Of the scriptures will help us have hope that's overflowing our vessel. Now, so let me ask you this. If you don't study the Bible, are you ever going to have your cup overflowing? Are you ever going to have your cup filled? No. And yet, don't we have more and more Christians today who don't study? And yet they expect to be filled and overflowing. But God has put it into a direct result of something else. See, if we don't do the something that we're supposed to do, we can't get the result. Go ahead, Carl. Right. Exactly. Fact is, the Holy Spirit, He can work in our lives, but the Holy Spirit, and He works in our lives directly. Scripture makes that clear. He does work in our lives directly, but He always works directly in our lives through the Holy Scriptures, because that's what He came. That's His main task, was to give us the Holy Scriptures. And so, you know, if we don't put the stuff in us, the Holy Spirit has nothing to use. You know, if we don't put the Word in us, the Holy Spirit has nothing to use. And so, that's one of the things that's a fallacy that a lot of people don't understand. Go ahead,
and then Mary. The Holy Spirit by being baptized.
Right. We get the Holy Spirit by being baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And He works through the Word.
It's a gift.
Yeah. Mary?
Well, the word inspiration, it has spirit in it, right?
Right.
But also, I wanted to say, like, if we pray for peace, or if we pray to make me a kind person, or a good person, or a faithful person, God always says yes, and then He gives you the
right. That's a good way of putting it. God always says yes to those prayers, but and then He says, here's your source manual. Go at it. And as you study, I'll give you, you know, I'll make it work. But what we do sometimes is we forget this little part. That would be like Luke and Emerson plowing their gardens, getting everything just right, and then start watering it, and they water and they water and they water and they hoe and everything, but they forgot to plant the seeds. Will anything grow? Well, yeah, weeds, but nothing else. Do you ever, I don't know whether you ever saw the movie Secondhand Line. If you haven't, you ought to see it. It is absolutely a marvelous movie. But in it, there are two old men who have retired. They were adventurers, and they end up adopting a nephew of theirs and all of that. But they plant for the first time a garden, and they get the seeds from a traveling salesman, and they plant this garden, and they've got everything labeled, you know, according to the seed packet. And it's the middle of summer, and as they're hoeing all that, one of them makes the observation, you know, what is this supposed to be? He looks at the end of the row, well, that's tomatoes. And what's this over here? Well, those are beans. He says, well, how come all of them look the same? Because they planted nothing but corn. Every single row was corn. Okay? Because they didn't know what the seeds were supposed to look like. I don't know how they didn't know that, but, you know, that's just part of the storyline. But the thing is that, can you imagine how disappointed some Christians are with their lives as Christians? Because they expect hope, they expect peace, they expect joy. It's something that's promised by God, but God wants to give it, wants to bestow this. He does everything he can to make it possible. But he also tells us, you know, we've got a part to play in that. And when we don't play that part by studying his word, it's like we planted a garden with no seeds. You're not going to have it. You're not going to have it. So, he says, this is my prayer for you. I want you to use the word of God to have your vessel filled. Okay? Now, I myself am confident, he says in verse 14, concerning you, my brethren, that you also... Now, the word also is important because, okay, this also is going to come back to the prayer, and he's going to say, look, in other words, it's not just me praying that this happen. The things you guys are doing will also help this to happen. Okay? Now, the things he tells us that will help that the prayer to be answered, so that we are filled and overflowing, are these three things. I'm confident that you are full of goodness. Now, again, it's the vessel, but now we're already what? We're already full of something. We're full of goodness. Now, this is important for us to have to wrestle with. Does yours have goodness, Carl? Okay. So they, how can you be good? You remember the rich young ruler came up to Jesus and said, good teacher. And Jesus says, no one is good but what? But God alone. All right. Now, Paul says, you're full of goodness. What's he talking about? Jesus says, no one is good except God alone. How can you be full of goodness? Because every part of Scripture has to fit together. How can you be full of goodness? What is he talking about? What is he talking about? Right. If you are a Christian and you have been baptized into Jesus Christ and raised up to walk in newness of life, you have been filled and now are full of goodness. That doesn't necessarily mean you're acting good. Okay? It means you're full of goodness because you're full. Your vessel has been filled up with who? With God. Your vessel has been filled up with God. So you are full of goodness. You are in a relationship with God, and God has filled you up with His essence. Okay? You are full of His essence. That's really what full of goodness is talking about. You're full of His essence. Now, why is that important? Well, because you and I can't live the Christian life if we're not what? Yeah. If we're not Christians, we can't live the Christian life. It's as simple as that. If only a Christian can truly live the Christian life. Now, there are people who go and they are able to strive after certain principles of the Christian life and to the degree that they probably go to the Word of God is always going to bring some sort of result in any person's life who uses it. But you really can't be a Christian in life unless you are filled with God Himself. So that's what this is. We're full of goodness. Okay? Now, notice it says full of goodness, and then the next one says filled with all knowledge. All right? Full means that it's a done deal. Okay? Filled means it's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing thing. Filled with knowledge. It's the third time in two verses that he's talked about what? He's talked about knowledge, knowing the Word of God. That's right. Doesn't mean taking my word for it. Yeah. I have read this book or learned this book. You know, you don't necessarily have to be able to read to know God's word, do you? I mean, There are people who over the centuries, who couldn't read, who knew the Word of God verbatim by listening, right? So, but they knew the Word of God. Go
ahead. My opinion, I think if you could have be full of goodness and not know as much knowledge, not as knowing the Bible.
That's true. That's very true. Because the goodness is pictured as being something that's an accomplished fact when you became a Christian. And fill is implies an ongoing process. And it all depends on how often you go to the well, so to speak. You know? So you're exactly right. You're exactly right. So we need to be filled with knowledge. And then those two things enable us to do what? Able also, there's another also, see. These two are connected by an also. Also, able to admonish one another. Remember we had that, we are individually members of one another. Now what does admonish mean? Instruct. Okay. Sometimes it means to correct. Admonish is one of those big umbrella type words. Okay, it is a word that specifically means to put in mind. In other words, it's very general, right? I need to put you in mind of. What? Well, if you're on a road that's leading to danger, then I need to put you in mind to be cautious. If you're on the road that is beneficial, then I need to put you in mind that you need to stay on the road. See the idea? To put you in mind means to admonish you means to. Either it can mean to correct, it can mean to warn, it can mean to reprove, it can mean to caution, it can mean to encourage, it can mean, because literally the idea is I need to put you in mind of this. Which is what Paul says, this is, you know, nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you. See, the word reminding there in verse 15 is connected to the word admonish. It's the idea of, I need to put this in your mind. Turn with me to, 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Now, what is Peter saying? He says, look, one of the reasons I'm writing this is because I want to remind you of certain things and I want to stir you up by reminding you, and I want you to have this reminder after I'm gone. Well, the word stir up by reminding you, that phrase stir up by reminding you, is very similar to the idea of putting into your mind the word that's translated admonish. You know, I need to put this in your mind, to put in your mind.
But it's not their words exactly.
It's, right. He's putting God's word in your mind. And that's exactly what this is telling us. Because see, We're full of God in us. We're full of knowledge. You know, we're filling with knowledge, and we use that to put that in each other's mind. Go ahead.
Well, is that part of what we come to church for? Like the preachers stir us up.
Mm-hmm.
Word of God.
And that's also what we do for one another too. Yeah. In fact, The Bible class, where we have this kind of discussion, is a good example of us admonishing one another. Because what are we doing? We're putting each other in mind of what is in God's Word. And we're sharing insights from one another. Things that I don't think of, you think of. Things that you think of, I don't think of. We admonish one another. Now, admonish is not necessarily, we usually think of admonish as correction, okay? But it's not just correction. It's an umbrella term in the Greek language. It's not just correction. It's a lot more than that. It even includes encouragement. You know, if you're doing the right thing, I mean, in our society, when somebody's doing the wrong thing, we tend to let them know, right? But sometimes the right kind of admonishment is, hey, you're doing the right thing, keep it up, right? Because sometimes doing the right thing gets awfully tired. Like the gardening. Let's go back to the gardening. When you are three-fourths of the way through planting your garden, what keeps you going to get the last of it planted? The thinking of the harvest. You have to have something in mind. Something has to encourage you to keep going on. And that's really what we do with the Christian life. Because where's the harvest? The harvest is, what's at the end of the road? Heaven. But if we don't remember that there's something at the end of the road that's wonderful, we might think, I can't stand this road any longer. You know? And so what might we do? We might quit. Might give up. We might just, And if we quit and give up, will we get the reward at the end? No. It won't. Akel, you got this big grin. What?
Okay, B said what got us to the end was Dad's belt.
Okay, and sometimes admonishing is that, All right, we're out of time. In fact, we're past time, so we're going to stop right here. So we just looked at those two verses specifically, but they're very full, aren't they, of stuff. And we'll go on from here next week. Any last-minute comments, questions? All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.